Well, as Toby said, we are closing out the series, Activate the Gift. I am pumped about getting to share on this topic. And it's been so awesome hearing reports of Connect groups activating the gift. And so, guys, I can't encourage you enough. As I'm talking about this series, make sure you get into group this week. Because in group, we're not just reflecting on it. We are having space and time to activate the gifts. And I know last Connect group, people prayed in tongues for the first time. People gave message in tongues for the first time. And interpreted. So cool. And so make sure you get into Connect groups. I remember for Ebony and I, we got a email from Pastor John and Danielle and their PA asking us for an hour-long meeting. And when you're the youth pastor and you get called in the senior minister's office, there's two options, okay? It's either really good news or it's really bad news. And I remember I was actually in my classroom when I got the email. And I remember that week, it was just that week, I loved being a youth pastor. The main thing I love about it is you're allowed to be a little bit naughty. Like your main job, besides connecting young people to Jesus, is just having fun. And I remember this... Like when I got that invite, I was like, I'm probably in trouble because that Friday, after all the teenagers has gone home, okay? So now there's just responsible adults left at church, okay? And I'm like, we started packing up and cleaning. I'm like, this is boring. And so I'm like, all right, I got all the youth leaders together, all the boys who wanted to. And I said, guys, let's play a game I just invented where we all go against a wall and I have a handball. Do you know, or you guys call it down ball. And we just throw it as hard as we can. And when it hits someone, they're in and then they come and throw balls at the rest of them. And I remember it because that day we put two massive holes in the door, in the wall. And I may have told our building manager that it was a teenager and a naughty youth, but it was actually me and our team. And so I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. So we go to the office. I'm like ready to be in trouble. And out of nowhere, as many of you have heard our story, Pastor John and Danielle asked Ebony and I at the age of 25 to pray about moving to Melbourne to start what is now C3 Powerhouse Melbourne East. It was one of those moments, you know in movies when something happened and it's like your life just crosses before your eyes. It was kind of one of those moments for Ebony and I. And what I'll never forget is as soon as the words left Pastor John's mouth, he said, Dan and Eb, I want you to pray about moving to Melbourne. Within a nanosecond, like I'm telling you, so quick, like faster than the speed of light, my brain had a thought. And that thought was, you are not good enough. And I'm telling you, before I even had time to process or think or answer, instantly that thought came up in my mind. There's no way you're good enough. Who do you think you are? There's no way you could do that. And I was absolutely terrified. And that was a spiritual battle I went on. But as Ebony and I went home, and the next day I got up before the sun and I went to the beach and I sought the Lord just to get wisdom and hear his voice. And I got to tell you, friends, I got two words from God that counteracted that lie in my head. I felt the voice of God say, you are enough and I will be with you. I will be with you. I want us to look together to Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. For context, this is what we call the Great Commission. And this is where Jesus is about to ascend to heaven and he gives what's called the Great Commission to every believer. And this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And it says, and Jesus came and said to them, to all the disciples, all of the believers, and he's saying it to you and I today for those who believe in Jesus Christ. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Who knows? That's good news. Come on. Jesus has all authority on heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. See, Jesus here is... This context is a context of calling, purpose, and destiny. Jesus is like giving the call of God and the purpose to his disciples and to the believers and to you and I. And in that context, I love that you and I will all have our callings, no matter We all have unique purposes from God. We all have unique gifts and unique passions and a unique calling. But all of our callings will somewhere, somehow link back to this mandate to make disciples, to build up and love other people. Our calling is always not to do with ourselves, but to do with other people, to be blessing other people. But what I love about this passage is it is in the same breath attached with the promise. There is a promise attached to the Great Commission. Did you catch it? The promise was, I will be with you. I picture it like this. Imagine two sides of the same coin. You can't have the Great Commission without the promise that he's with us. It's like two sides of the same piece of paper. They're inseparable. Inseparable. And boo, 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 boo. And here's the key thought. There is a promise attached to fulfilling your calling and my calling. And that promise is, friend, that I will be with you. When Joshua was called in Joshua chapter 1, he said, God said to him, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. When Jeremiah was called in Jeremiah chapter 1, God said, and don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. As Isaiah was called in Isaiah chapter 6, he says, I will put my word in your mouth. There is such a common theme through Scripture that when God calls us to something, he promises to be with us. The Holy Spirit promises to be with you and I as we fulfill our God-given purpose. And so I come back to that moment where I'm battling intimidation. I don't feel like I am enough or good enough, but I felt God call me. And suddenly the whisper of the Holy Spirit comes to me. And I remember it like it was yesterday. It was his voice saying, Dan, I've called you to plant this church location. Dan, I will be with you. Dan, I will anoint you. Dan, I will equip you. I will strengthen you. I will comfort you. I will give you the gifts you need to fulfill your calling. I love that Jesus actually said, it's better that I go, for if I do not go away, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come. And so here today, as we lean into these three final gifts, I want to encourage all of us here that as you fulfill your calling, there are gifts available from the Holy Spirit to fulfill it. So as you be a great, great mum and a great dad, the gifts of the Spirit are available to equip you to fulfill that calling. As you lead your business and go boss it in the marketplace for Jesus, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available for you. As you lead a connect group in church and you disciple God's people, the gifts of the Spirit are available for you. As you work on being a great husband and building a great marriage, the gifts of the Spirit are available for you to fulfill your calling. As God opens doors of ministry to you, the gifts of the Spirit are available. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are available for each of us to fulfill the call of God of helping others. And that's what this whole series has been about. We're talking the gifts of the Spirit. If this is your first Sunday, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, highly encourage everyone, make sure you go home, do a Bible study of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. But right now, before I get into them, there's a screen going to come up with five key thoughts around the gifts of the Spirit. Are you ready? All right. Number one, every believer has the Holy Spirit living in our heart and he transforms us to be like Jesus. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Number two, he comes upon us through the baptism in the Holy Spirit for the sake of others. I love this mantra that the Holy Spirit lives in us for me. He comes upon me for others. He lives in us for me, but comes upon me for others. Number three, there are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit that we read about in 1 Corinthians 12. I won't go into that today except for the three I'm covering, but make sure you go and read that. Number four, I absolutely love this. And the Apostle Paul could not have been clearer in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 that the purpose of these gifts is to build up and strengthen others. So the purpose of the gift of prophecy isn't that I can build my ego and look amazing. The purpose of the gift of healing isn't that I would have 100,000 Instagram followers and everyone would kiss my feet, okay? The purpose of these gifts aren't about us. Who are they about? They're about blessing other people, helping the body of Christ, loving, comforting, strengthening other people. And I've noticed this time and time again in my life and as a pastor, when the motive is love, God gives his gifts freely. They're the ones God uses. When the motive is selfish, gifts dry up because God is looking for people who are motivated by love. What's on God's heart? People. What should be on our heart? His people. Amen? And number five, this one's good news too. Come on. We can earnestly seek more gifts, especially prophecy, it says in 1 Corinthians 14. So it's not like we were predestined with, oh, I can have this gift and that's my lot. And I, you know, Paul says, guys, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And so maybe there are some people here, come on, who are hungry, earnestly desiring the Holy Spirit will meet you in that request. God can't make you hungry. He can't make me hungry. We need to desire the gifts. Paul said to Timothy, fan into flame. He didn't say, Timothy, God's going to fan your flame. He didn't say, Timothy, I'm going to come there and fan your flame. He said, Timothy, fan into flame yourself the gifts of God in you. Amen? All right. Today we're going into the revelation gifts. There's a screen going to explain it. We've gone through the power gifts, the speaking gifts. Today we're doing a zoom in, people, on the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Give me a wave who's excited for these three. Come on, this is going to be a great group as well. And I'm looking forward to leaning in, and then we're going to have some time just for God to move this morning. And I just want to remind us one last time that key verse before I get into it. This is why I remind you, Paul said, to fan into flame the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you. And I just really prophetically sense this morning, as I'm going to be preaching, and to be honest, there's a bit more teaching. I got to hold my preaching self back and teach. But as I teach this, I know that there are gifts on the inside of you that maybe have become dormant. Maybe they haven't been used in a while. Maybe on the other side of COVID, some of these gifts just got a bit stuck. And they're in there. God gave them to you. They haven't gone anywhere. But I believe today the breath of the Holy Spirit's going to come afresh, light a fire in us that we can then step out again. And those gifts will be fanned into flame and we'll be making a difference for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, number one, I'm going to talk about understanding spiritual gifts, the gift of the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Something I had the privilege of doing as a location pastor is a lot of what we use the word, whatever, discipling, mentoring, getting just to catch up with people and help them in their life. And I remember, as I shared earlier, when Eb and I moved to Melbourne, we were 25, okay? And so one of our biggest, like, little fears or, like, what the heck are we going to do is, we're 25. We haven't lived a lot of life, right? We haven't had kids yet. We haven't done this. We haven't done that. And that's why I want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit are available for us. Because I've actually been a pastor since I was 18. Often very young, very inexperienced, and very just not lived a lot of life yet. But Paul, you know, said to Timothy, do not despise your youth. So never let age be a limitation on God working through you. Stop preaching. All right. So just want to be vulnerable. So since I moved to Melbourne, I have met face-to-face with people who have been struggling with divorce and asking for my wisdom. They've been struggling with estranged children and asking for my wisdom. I've met with beautiful people in the midst of legal battles with lawyers chasing them and they're in trouble. I've met with people in the middle of grieving a lost loved one of someone in their immediate family who tragically and traumatically has died. I've met with people confused about their sexuality and their identity and wrestling that out. And the list can go on, but can I be honest with you? What's the common theme in all of those things? I have not experienced any of the above yet. I haven't experienced any of that. And I sit there, and so often I'm on the outside, I'm like, very confident. And on the inside, I'm like, what the heck do I say? I don't know what to do when we're struggling with divorce. Like, and this happens to me time and time again. But what do? I look to the Holy Spirit. And I go, Holy Spirit, you called me. You promised me you'd be with me. I desire the gift of wisdom. Can you speak to me? And on the outside, I'm list, but on the inside, I'm looking up, saying, Spirit of God, speak. My ears are open. My heart is to help this person. Now, don't take me the wrong way. I'm humble. I don't ever do this with arrogance or trying to force. This is for people who are asking of it. But I say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. And I often, in those moments, out of just nowhere. It's not in a book I've read. It's not in a podcast I listen to. It's not from an experience. I get a word from the Holy Spirit. And I just humbly say, oh, have you thought about this? I don't go, God said you should. hey, have you considered this? Have you thought about this? And so often that person will go, wow, Dan, that's exactly what I needed to hear. That has nothing to do with me. Like, the Holy Spirit makes you and I look a lot smarter than we actually are, people. I'm not that smart. But what I love about this is that we can get, what wisdom is, I'm going to talk about, is a heavenly download of supernatural wisdom. And that's happened to Ebony and I time and time again on our journey of fulfilling our calling. So what's the definition of this gift? The definition of the word of wisdom, it's just a definition. This isn't the biblical one, but just one from Scripture. It's an insight into solving a problem or situation that clearly could not come from your own education, knowledge, understanding, or experience. It's a heavenly download that shows how to proceed, circumventing numerous false alleys and opening up a solution that is beautiful in its clarity. How good is that definition? It's a heavenly download of wisdom. Now, this is not to be confused with, and this is awesome. As you and I mature in our walk with God, we build wisdom, right? This isn't that. This isn't out of my life. This is actually when there's actually no explanation of how I could naturally know the answer to this problem, but the Spirit of God gives me a heavenly download. It's a gift of the Spirit, and then I speak it with courage, and it helps another believer. And so that's what the gift of wisdom is. And I wanted to zoom in quickly on an example of this in the Word of God. It's King Solomon, all the way back in the Old Testament in 1 Kings. And some of you may have heard the story, some may not. Solomon is the son of King David, who's a very famous Bible character. And Solomon has a dream. And in this dream, come on, this is epic. God meets him face to face in this dream and basically says, Solomon, ask anything you wish and I'll give it to you. It's like as close as we get to a genie in the bottle in a Bible. But literally Jesus said to him, whatever you ask, it's yours. And Solomon, in his dream, asked God for wisdom to help govern the people God called him to lead. And just a little secret there, did you notice? It wasn't wisdom so that he could build lots of wealth and be amazing. Even in Solomon's answer, you can sense the motive is to help other people. And he asked for discernment and wisdom, and God gives it to him. And just later in the same chapter, I'm in 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to read from verse 23. And what had happened here is two women, so basically back in the day, the king at the time, it sounds like the worst job on the planet, would just have all the problems of the people that they couldn't solve. They'd line up at the king's door and all day he would sit there trying to give justice and solve problems. It just sounds like a nightmare to me. Man, I don't know if you'd enjoy that. I would not. But two women come into King Solomon's court. And he'd just been given this gift of wisdom. And two women are fighting over a baby. They're both claiming, this baby's mine. Hey, this baby's mine. This baby's mine. And it's just shenanigans in the king's room. And I want us to read for, they both present their case. And let's read this from verse 23. Then the king said, let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours. And each of you say that the dead one belongs to the other because one of their children had passed away. All right, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought to the king. So random. Then he said, cut the living child in two. Give half to one woman and half to the other. Come on, the Bible can be violent. Then the woman who was the real mother of the living child, who loved them very much, cried out, oh no, my Lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him. But the other woman said, all right, he will neither be yours nor mine. Divide him between us. Then the king said, do not kill the child, but give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is the real mother. Check this out, verse 28. When all Israel heard the king's decision, the people were in awe of the king, for they saw the wisdom of God had given him for rendering justice. I love this story. First of all, Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked God for this gift, and we're going to get into that. His motive was to help people, and then God answered his prayer, gave him supernatural wisdom. Now, I'm assuming that wasn't in the playbook that David handed Solomon, right? Like, when this situation happens, pull up. No, this was a heavenly download of wisdom in a moment given by the Holy Spirit. A mark of the word of wisdom is that people are in awe of the wisdom that is shared, and it always points people back to God. Did you notice that Israel weren't just amazed at Solomon, but at the God of Israel, at the king? So how do you and I activate this gift? If you desire the gift of wisdom, what do we do? The answers are quite similar in all of them. But number one, ask God. Ask God, God, give me the gift of wisdom. That's what Solomon did. That's what Paul teaches us to do in Corinthians. But you and I particularly, when we're on our way to a situation where we're confused, we don't know what to do. Maybe we're on our way to meet a client at work and we're going, Lord, give me wisdom for this. Maybe we're about to meet someone who's hurting, one of our friends or connect group members who've just grieving. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom for this situation. Ask God for wisdom, but particularly when we're going into a situation. Ask God in the moment, is there anything you want me to say? So just like when I'm mentoring or discipling, on my inside, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. Is there anything you want me to say? And open your ears to hear from the Spirit of God. And it's an important point. Don't demand that this wisdom will match our logic. Who knows, it was quite illogical what Solomon did, right? Pulling out a sword, oh my goodness. But when we open our ears to hear from the Holy Spirit, a supernatural heavenly download can come. A pitfall or danger of this gift is number one, not following due process. So that doesn't mean that every now and then you just get this supernatural idea and then you just don't tell your wife and you don't tell anyone and you just do it. We still want to be wise people and follow things. Don't rush things, but be careful with this gift. And when do we use this gift? Situations where we don't know what to do. You don't have the answer. Your natural has failed. Your natural wisdom, experience, knowledge, education has failed you. And you need the super to your natural. And what we're going to do in connect groups is we're going to have a moment where we might just ask, hey, is anyone here? Maybe there'll be people who currently has a problem that you just can't seem to solve in your life. Then we're going to wait on the Holy Spirit, and people who have the gift of wisdom or stepping out in the first time will receive some wisdom and share it. Amen? Give me a wave. Who either feels they have the gift of wisdom or desire it? Come on, give me a wave. Be bold. Okay, fantastic. How are we going so far? Good? All right, gift number two, the gift of the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge. This one's one of my favorite. I remember when I was first learning how to prophesy or to hear from God, and I'll never forget this one moment where it was a Sunday morning, I was on the Sunshine Coast, or maybe Sunday night, and I was preaching that day. And at the time, Pastor John and Dan were really encouraging everyone, when you preach, make sure you move in the Spirit. And that was terrifying for me at the time. I was still learning, like, can I even hear God? And when prophesy, like, I was just freaking out. And I'll never forget that I was just preaching and someone in the audience caught my eye. I knew her. And I said, God just said, speak something over her. And I didn't know what I was going to say. And I'm like, stand up. And she's standing up. I'm like, ugh. Next step, please. And I just got this phrase from God. You feel like you're going one step forward and two step backwards. So I got a word of knowledge. And she just started weeping, like in the middle of the auditorium. I was like, man, this must be a real bad word. She's crying. I made her cry. But I went on to finish praying for her. And she came up to me after the service. And she said, Dan, you would not believe it. Just yesterday, I was having a breakdown. And I just didn't know if I could go on. And I met with my husband. And I talked to him yesterday. And I said, I just feel like life is so hard right now. I feel like I'm constantly going one step forward and two steps backwards. And so the exact phrase she said to her husband the day before was the exact phrase God gave me. And then on the other side of that, I then prophesied the word of knowledge opened to the gift of prophecy, and God really spoke to her and encouraged her. That's an example of how the word of knowledge can work. I remember I just rededicated my life to God. I was about 17, and Pastor Phil Pringle was in town. And if you know Pastor Phil, he has the most amazing gift of word of knowledge. And I had the strangest injury. It's like awkward. I literally had a little muscle in my groin/hip that every time I would lift my leg, it would really hurt. And because I was an aspiring professional athlete at the time, I'd walk into church like, hey, you'll all want my signature soon. But this thing was holding me back. It really bothered me at the time. Now I'm just like, grow up, Dan, you're fine. But anyway, at the time, I went to physios and I couldn't get it fixed. There's something wrong with a muscle this big in my groin. And it's a healing meeting. And Pastor Phil's just like, I got a word of knowledge for this. If that's you, come to the front. And you know how sometimes pastors are like, if you've got a headache or have ever struggled with a headache, like, you know, sometimes that's God. That's also quite broad, so it's a bit easier to do. But Pastor Phil, he said, there's someone here tonight, and there's only about 100 people in the room, and he said, there is a pain right here in your groin. And he said, every time you lift your leg, it hurts. And he starts doing this on stage. And I can't, like, I got so much faith in that moment because I was in that healing meeting going, Lord, I'm believing for healing in this little muscle. And Pastor Eli, this amazing word of knowledge. I go up to the front. I get prayed for. Can I tell you, my faith was 10 out of 10 before he even laid hands on me. Why? Because Pastor Phil was moving in the gift of the word of knowledge that opened the doorway into the gift of healing. And I got healed that night, but it started from a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is often a doorway into other gifts. The definition of a word of knowledge, information given to you by the Holy Spirit. I'll go slower for those note takers. I can feel Steve like, slow down. Information given to you by the Holy Spirit about a personal situation that could not be known by natural means. It is supernatural insight into a situation about a person or scenario you couldn't have known by natural means. There's no way Pastor Phil could have known I had a sore little muscle in my groin that I didn't tell anyone about because it was embarrassing and I had the most awkward physio sessions you could imagine. And there's no way he could have known. That's why it was a word of knowledge. It's supernatural. And I want to quickly zoom into a story of Jesus in John chapter 4. And Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at a well. And he's at a well. Now, there's so much to this story, I could preach a whole sermon, but it's a supernatural encounter. In the context of this time, a Jewish male would not be caught dead talking to a Samaritan woman. It is like it was impossible. It does not happen. It's so frowned upon that you would not believe in that culture. But Jesus is at a well by himself, and he encounters a woman from Samaria. And it's a beautiful conversation. You should read it. He talks about living water. He says, go get me a drink. And they talk about living water and having this conversation. And he's inviting this beautiful woman into grace, into forgiveness, and into salvation. And we read from John chapter 4, 15 to 19. Please, sir, the woman says, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again and I won't have to come here to get water. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands and you are married to the man you're living with right now. You certainly spoke the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. Pressing pause on the story, isn't that amazing that Jesus got this very specific word of knowledge? So specific. Like, all right, you have slept with five different men. None of them are your husband. You're not married. And right now you're actually living with one who is not your husband and you guys aren't married. And it's like such a specific word of knowledge. But what we read on in that story is that word of knowledge unlocked her heart and she encounters Christ the Messiah. She receives Jesus that day. And the amazing thing quickly is verse 28 to 30 says, the woman left her jar beside the well, I skipped a bit, ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could that be the Messiah? So people came streaming from the village to see him. One of the first genuine moves of God in the New Testament, where a whole city gets radically transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, was on the other side of a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge opens the doors into other gifts and other supernatural abilities. So how do I activate this? Cry out to the Lord. Start from a place of love and ask the Lord for this gift. It looks like in quiet time saying, Lord, I ask you for the gift of words of knowledge. Speak to me. Keep persisting. You're not just going to pray that prayer once and magically it's now there. Persist in prayer and ask God. And pay attention. This gift requires our ears to be on him, similar to the one before. Dialing in and listening, following the sense, being obedient even when it doesn't make sense. It's always scary at the start of a word of knowledge because you don't know if it's true, but we need to be bold. Potential pitfall, we can shame or embarrass people. See, Jesus had this conversation in private. It wasn't like he was with his disciples saying, oh, this, what, like, we got to be careful. Sometimes God will show us things that he doesn't actually want us to speak or say. We've got to use wisdom. Don't blurt it out. What is the positive situation, God? You're asking for what you've revealed to me and you move forward from there. And as I said, often it opens doors into healing. Pastor Phil that night, it opened the door into healing. It can open the door into deliverance or freedom or prophecy. It's amazing. And so in Connect Group, we're going to wait on the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray in tongues and just open. Does anyone have a word of knowledge for someone here tonight? I know God's going to move. And lastly, as I invite the band up, the last gift I want to talk about is the gift of distinguishing between spirits. Distinguishing or discerning spirits. Before Ebony and I moved to Melbourne, so we'd now had that meeting, I'd done the prayer walk, we said yes, and we were in this prophetic mentoring night where a pastor named Greg French, he's a great C3 pastor, prophesied over Ebony and I. And aren't you noticing that all these gifts intertwine? So Pastor Greg is using his prophetic gift and he prophesied over Ebony and I, Dan and Eb, someone's going to want to move to Melbourne. He said, I see a couple and they're going to be very excited and everyone else on the team is going to be pumped about their moving to Melbourne. But you, particularly Ebony, he said, Ebony, you'll have a discernment that this is not from God. And he went on to prophesy that this is a seed from the enemy. It'll be incredibly destructive and it's demonic in nature. Don't allow it. Pretty hectic prophecy. No pressure on Eb. And that was Toby. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. And sure enough, everyone forgets about the prophecy. About 6 months later, there's this on fire couple and no judgment on them. They're awesome. They're following the Lord today. But they express they want to move to Melbourne. And as the prophetic said, Pastor John, like the team, everyone, like there's no one saying it doesn't look good. Everyone was like, yeah. And I met with Ebony and she has the most amazing gift of discernment. She has this gift and it's such a blessing to our church. And in that moment, she just felt God say, there's something wrong in their motive. And Eb couldn't word it. And sometimes this gift, you can't put words to it. She just had a feeling and a sense. She said, there's something off with this couple. And then the prophecy came back to us. We were like, wow, okay, we got to shut this down. And so with kindness and grace, we obeyed God and they didn't move to Melbourne with us. And sure enough, within a year, there was a big blow up and they left our church and it could have been very damaging for what God was trying to do in Melbourne. Isn't that amazing? Ebony had her ears open to hear. So just quickly as I land, the definition of this gift is a supernatural gift of perception given sovereignly by God to enable individuals in church to distinguish the motivating spirit behind certain words or deeds. It's an ability to discern, is this a spirit from God or not from God? It's a sense, it's a feeling. Is this from the Lord or is it from the enemy? Is it from man? And the Holy Spirit reveals to us, there's just something off about that person's motive. There's just something off about this situation. There's just something doesn't sit right about this business deal. Oh, there's just something up with that person who's trying to become friends with my son. Oh, there's just something about that relate. Like the Spirit of God is giving us a supernatural gift of discernment. We discern what's behind words and actions. And then the gift of this is it partners with other gifts. Well, then how do I fix this, Lord? Sometimes it's to prophesy. Sometimes it's just to make a wise decision. But my encouragement is if you have this gift, lean into it. Be bold. I can't tell you how many times I have learned whenever there's a big decision, I ask my wife. She is like the Holy Spirit to me often. Often her and the Holy Spirit are saying the same thing is what I meant there. And I've learned every time she says, oh, there's something wrong about that person. And I'm like, nah, believe in them. And I go ahead. It always ends in pain because I've learned she has this gift. And as I've matured, I 100% honor and listen to that gift. Amen? Amen. Can we all stand to our feet as I close the message?